staff? Okay. What's your name?
Dorothy Wasagija Kennedy.
Okay. Where do you work, Dorothy?
Down the street.
She doesn't cooperate.
This woman doesn't. Down the street.
London.
Okay, London. Okay. What language do you teach?
I teach the Ojibwe Odawa language.
Okay. Why do you think that the Ojibwe Odawa language is important to you?
Well, for one thing, it's my mother language, my mother tongue. And that was the first language that I learned.
And who taught you?
I don't really think anybody taught me, but I grew up with it, and my parents always spoke the native language at home.
Do you speak your language at home, in your own home, not like with your parents, but at your own home?
As much as I can. I try and speak it as much as I can to my two little girls, and they pick it up quite easily, quite fast.
What does your family feel about your language, about the language itself?
They think it's really important.
What does the native community feel about the way you teach the language? How do they show it?
Well, why don't you just start over again?
Get her to talk a little bit more about when she was little, too, when she was young.
Okay. Well, let me just put it down.
Sure. Okay. Go ahead.
Is it on?
Okay. So, how long did you learn your language? Like, how long did it, were you speaking? From what age did you begin to really actually speak your language?
When I was, I guess I could say I've always spoken it, because ever since I can remember, I was always speaking in Indian. When I was a little girl, I thought in Indian. I spoke in Indian, and I probably dreamt in Indian. It was only when I started school that I started learning English. And it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to maintain the two languages.
Did your grandparents and your mother and father speak Indian a lot to you as a child?
Oh yeah, that's all we ever speak at home. Okay. It was only until the 70s, I think, that I was the one that started speaking in English at home.
And broke the tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. I started speaking English to my little sister, because I wanted her to get more ahead of than I was, I guess. I don't know. I seemed to know that there was some sort of a gift to speaking both languages. And she was really advanced as she was growing up. She was way ahead of all her peers in the classroom. And I think that was just from knowing two languages. She was able to think in two languages.
So do you feel that Ojibwe and Odawa are the same?
They're myself, I really don't know what the difference is. But I think Ojibwe is a little bit more of a harder, like it's more of a harder language, not in the textural sense, I guess. It would, you know, it's the words are harder. Like, I mean, they're of a harder sound, harsher sound than the Odawa. But there really is no difference. You just say things a little bit differently.
So do you feel that Odawa, when you're teaching Odawa to a person, they would understand or learn it a lot quicker than they would Ojibwe then?
No, it's no different.
Okay.
Basically, I guess basically speaking, Ojibwe and Odawa are probably the same nowadays because there's been so much mixture.
What inspired you to teach?
Well, nothing really. I'm only getting inspired now because I see such a dynamic language, you know, like there's so much you can do with the language and so much you can teach. I'm starting from day one almost with the children that I teach, with the people I teach. I'm starting at day one in the spoken language with them. And there's so much you can do. I'm learning at the same time also. Like, I've always learned a language, but now I know it in the more structural form.
Do you speak your language at your immediate home?
As much as I can, although my husband is not of the same nation as I am. He's Nodwe, Oneida. He's of another language, and he picks up the language, but he doesn't speak it as much as I'd like him to. But I often tell him things in Indian, mostly commands.
What about your family, your daughters? Do they pick up the language very easy, or do they find it hard? Or
they pick it up really fast, especially Sarah, who is now 4 years old. She picks it up just like that. I think she listens to my conversations on the telephone to my mother and sisters.
So, like, when you talk Indian to her, do you have to sometimes tell her what it means?
No, I never tell her what anything means. She surprises me sometimes by what she says. And I think it's just as good for her to listen to what I'm talking about. But I think I have to be more forceful later on, like when her and I are actually speaking together.
So I understand you're teaching now in the community and outside of the community. Do you have a lot of people involved in the preparation of each class? Or?
No, I have. In that area, I guess it would be nil. I do most of the preparations for each class. I know what I'm going to teach, so it's not really. I don't really need any help except for the preparation of some materials, like photocopying and such.
How many do you teach in one class?
Well, for the past 5 years, I've been teaching the Ojibwe language in Munsee in a classroom situation. In each classroom, I guess the average class would be about 20 children. And we have a school population of about 130 students at Mount Elgin School. So I teach about 130 children a week.
Do you find that they learn fast?
Yeah. But the sad part is, I find the grade fives and sixes learn the language really fast, just as much as the younger children do. But they go on to to provincial schools when they leave Monongahela at grade 6. And there's nobody to teach the language in the provincial schools. So they kind of forget it as well.
How did the classes that you've taught before, has there been very many people that spoke the language before entering your class?
It's been very minimal. They're mostly, they're very isolated words, I guess. You can't really carry on a conversation with what they know.
Has the language changed for you? Like, when you're teaching, some languages vary, like Ojibwe and Odawa vary. So do you find that if you've lost some of the words that you teach, say for instance, you would say Bojo, somebody would say Ani, does it change, does the language change through generations, or is it, or does it stay the same all the time, or?
The structure of the language doesn't change, but some words do change, like for chair, we say Pobwin. And then down here, I've heard several different versions of chair. Some people say Gwidbewin, which is an old term, like something you sit on. You know, it's not a chair, but it's something you sit on, whether it be a stool or a stump or a cushion, or so it's something you sit on. Whereas nowadays we have Pobwin, which is made out of wood, and it's fashioned into something you sit on, like a chair.
When you teach, what type of materials do you use? Like, do you use symbols or colors or words or?
When I started teaching, I used mostly pictures. People learn with visual material rather quickly. So I used a lot of pictures, and I use an alphabet system. And recently, I've been introduced to a color system, and it's the color system is called the Silent Way, and they're all the different sounds in the language are symbols of one color or other. And that takes a lot out of my teaching, although I teach the initial sounds and the different colors. But the people themselves make the different words as I point to each color.
And do you feel that the language is dying?
I don't think the language is dying. It's just that a lot of people have lost grip of it somehow, and a lot of people. I'm really amazed at what lengths people are going to regain their language back. I don't think it's dying in a sense. The language itself is very dynamic. And once you learn it, it stays with you.
What can be done to maintain or preserve this language? And is your community involved?
Can you say it again?
Yeah. What can be done to maintain or to preserve the language, and what is your community, and how involved is the community?
Well, right now in Southern Ontario, I think there's a great force underway to regain the languages back. And people are forming different groups and forming committees to see what they can do to preserve it. the preservation of a language, as far as that goes. I think that can only be done with people, you know, with the interest that people have. And I see that happening here in London itself, with the language classes being held at NAMRND, and this has been done totally by just the interest of a few people. And everywhere I go, I see, you know, people with that interest in mind. Although it's just, I believe it's just starting up as of now.
Why do you think there's been a change in people wanting to learn? What do you think has changed for them? You could put yourself in their position. What would the language mean to them that they want to learn it so much?
Can you let me think about that one for a minute?
Okay. Did you have some more? Because I just had a couple things that occurred to me with the questions that you asked. When did you work out a way to teach the language on your own, or did you take some training from someone else in how to teach it? I know that you learn the language sort of naturally, but as far as knowing how to teach it.
Okay. Yes, I guess my first training as a language specialist, I guess, or as a teacher now, I guess my first teachers were my parents and my grandparents, and it sort of went from there. When I was asked to teach the language, I took teaching Native as a second language. It was a diploma course offered at Thunder Bay, and I received my diploma from Thunder Bay as not as a certified teacher, but as an instructor with language teaching abilities. And that was that. I finished the courses in Thunder Bay, which is a 4-year course. And this year the Ministry of Education is offering a certified course that will be certified by the Ministry of Education, and I will be taking that, and I will be a certified language teacher.
Has the school system in London, like I think of the Native students at Saunders, are they beginning to think about offering language courses there for the students as an option, as an elective course that they could get credit for?
Yeah, things are sort of going in that direction right now, and I think that is the way the Ministry of Education is going as far as offering Native languages in the provincial schools and high schools, but the motivating force, I guess, will have to come from the different reserves that want their children to learn it, and it has to become a political stand by the different Indian communities, so that this can happen. It's not happening in this area right now, because the political bodies are not going in that direction, or at least not now.
Do you feel that the future generations can benefit from the language and why?
Oh yes, I think future generations can benefit, and to know an Indian language is a great gift. Your outlook is totally different. You have more respect for things, and you treat people differently. You just look at life in a totally different way. It's not a one way street. It's, you know, like it's all things. Everything becomes life, like the universe, people, the world, different races. You see things in one, everything is one. I think nowadays children are rather lost because they don't have any clue as what they are. Knowing a language gives you an identity, gives you a really strong identity. It gives you something to be proud of. Something you can hold as part of your being.
Do you think that's why, to go back to the question we asked you before, why people are becoming so much more interested in it now,
mm-hmm.
including the adults?
It gives you an identity to hold on to, so that you can be proud to say, yeah, I speak a native language. I know a native language. And I learned it.
When you, being bilingual, when you speak in Ojibwe and when you speak in English, do you find you think in different ways because of the way the languages are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I mix somehow without even knowing that I do. Sometimes I mix both languages together. I can say a sentence in English and put some Indian words into it to make it more meaningful. There's nothing wrong with that.
Do you recall any traditional stories being told by Native women in their language, or do you yourself teach your class in the traditional stories? I'm going to run out in the middle of a story.